Hi everyone, welcome. This is Amy McCready. I'm the founder of Positive Parenting Solutions and the author of If I Have to Tell You One More Time. I am so thrilled that you're all here tonight. As some of you may know, I hosted this teleseminar a few months ago and it was just awesome. And I thought to myself, gosh, I wish I would have known all of this when my kids were younger. So I wanted to bring it to the Positive Parenting Solutions audience again. And so I'm delighted that the testingmom.com was able to be with us. So I wanted to just kind of fill you in on what we're going to cover, and I wanted to introduce our guest tonight. One of the things that I found just fascinating is that by the age of five, most kids in the United States are going to take some kind of intelligence test. So it doesn't matter if your kids are going to public school or private school, one of the most important tests they take actually comes way before the SAT. Kids who are starting kindergarten are immediately tested, and then they're placed into groups, either advanced, average, or slow. But kids who are pegged in the slow group, if they're pegged in the slow group in first grade, they have less than a 13% chance of catching up. And I just think it's fascinating because as important as these tests are, parents have no idea what is even being covered. So that's why the testing mom folks are here tonight, to kind of give us a sense of what is being covered. In terms of what you're going to learn tonight, there are four key areas. First, we're going to talk about the seven abilities that kids need for school success and how you can build on each one of those at home just in the course of your everyday life. They'll talk about the five most effective ways to raise your child's IQ, how you can actually impact your child's IQ by 38 points, which I think is amazing, and then how to prepare your kids for that testing that they're going to be taking, but without stressing you out and without stressing them out. Now, there is a handout, like a note-taking guide for this session, which you can find at testingmom.com in the blog. It's the very first blog entry, so if you don't have it, you can check that out. And I think it's time for me to introduce our guests. So let me introduce Karen Quinn and Michael McCurdy. They're the founders of testingmom.com. Michael, his background and specialty is in the Gifted and Talented program. He became interested in that when they moved from Texas to New York City and his daughter was admitted to the Gifted and Testing program. And he quickly realized that parents just didn't have a clue in terms of what kids were being tested on or how the whole selection process worked. So he founded a blog called New York City Gifted and Talented. WordPress.com, which help parents sort of navigate that admissions process. And then Karen Quinn, her story is really interesting. Her son was actually going down the path for special education until she cracked the code for early intelligence testing, and she, in working with him and the tools that she's going to share with you tonight, boosted his score from the 37th percentile to the 94th percentile. So the tools really, really work. And then she started a company in New York City in 2001 that helped parents, navigate that admissions process and get their kids ready for testing. She's written a bunch of books, including Testing for Kindergarten. And then she teamed up with Michael to found testingmom.com. So I'm delighted to have them both here tonight. They're just a wealth of information, and I think I'll just turn it over to Karen and Michael.
All right, great. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
To be here tonight. Yes, hi, everyone. This is Michael McCurdy, co-founder of TestingMom.com. And again, we want to welcome everyone to our teleseminar tonight. And if you haven't downloaded the document that we sent out in the email to confirm attendance to this teleseminar, you can do that right away. Just go to TestingMom.com, click on the blog, which is on the upper bar. In the first blog entry, you can download the document that Karen will be talking about here in a moment. And we'll also be having a special offer at the end of this teleseminar to let you know how you can get Karen's book, Testing for Kindergarten, absolutely free. And also we'll share with you how to get 50 free practice questions that you can use with your child over the next couple of days to give them insights to these tests that Karen will be talking about. If you have any questions during our teleseminar tonight, just go to our Facebook fan page. Just go to Facebook and type in the search box, Testing Mom, and post your questions, and we'll get to those at the end. And tonight's session, I'll be actually interviewing Karen and asking her a few questions, and then she'll go over the worksheet that we sent out to everyone earlier tonight. So Karen, you are a parent expert. You're not a PhD in educational psychology. So can you tell everyone tonight how you got involved in testing young children?
Yeah, I will. You know, you're right. I am not a PhD, and I'm a mom, I'm a parent, and the reason I sort of got into this whole area is because my younger son, when he was about 3 years old, I realized that he wasn't developing the same way that his older sister had. And I didn't know, I knew that there was something wrong with him. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something was off. And he didn't look at us when we spoke to him. And I was actually, you know, very concerned that he might be autistic. I didn't know what was happening with him, but something was happening. And I took him to a developmental pediatrician who evaluated him. And, you know, she said to me, well, I have good news and bad news. And the good news is that the reason your son is not developing the way that he needs to and should be developing is because he cannot hear. But we can fix that with surgery. The bad news is we gave your son the WPSI test, which is an IQ test that they give kids in New York City to get into schools. And she said he did terrible. He scored in the 34th percentile. And you need to start looking for a special ed for this child because he will never be able to perform in a regular classroom. Well, I was really devastated. I couldn't, you know, believe that at three, you know, his future was already, you know, already doomed. So we did get his hearing fixed. That was the first thing we did. And then I went to my mother, who happens to be a PhD in early childhood education, and I said, you know, is this true? Is there nothing we can do to help Sam? And she said, no, absolutely not. And she kind of explained to me how these IQ tests work and why, you know, they're not just tests that are in a vacuum. They really are assessing the kinds of skills children need to do well in school. And she showed me what they covered and helped me put together a little plan where I started working with him every night for about an hour. And a year later, he was retested, and he scored in the 94th percentile. So just by working with him, his IQ just completely turned around. And so that's really what got me interested in this. And I later started, you know, showing other parents how to work with their own kids who didn't have any learning issues. And they started doing really well when they had to be tested for gifted programs or private schools. And eventually I started a business around that because I was just so convinced that parents need to get involved in working with their children's cognitive development that it can really make such a big difference.
So Karen, in your book, Testing for Kindergarten, the book focuses on the seven abilities children need for testing and school success. How did you come up with these abilities and identify these abilities?
Well, what I did was as I was writing Testing for Kindergarten, I decided that I really wanted to share with parents what I knew about getting children ready for both testing and kindergarten, because it really is, it's the same thing. And I knew it was the same thing, and I wanted to share that. But I started really researching and looking into all the different kinds of tests that kids are given, you know, when they're tested for admissions or they're just tested within the classroom, you know, to be put into groups. And what I saw was there was so much overlap between these tests. They were all evaluating the same thing. And so it was really by looking at sort of a cross-section of all these different tests that I realized, you know, there's just so much in common, and there's so many, they are the same abilities from test to test that are being assessed. They may assess them in a little bit different way, but it's the same kind of across, whether it's an IQ test or it's a kind of a test like a COGAT, which you hear about sometimes, or an OLSET. It doesn't matter. They're all assessing the same kinds of things. And I pulled the seven abilities from there. And the thing that's interesting, and we'll talk about the seven abilities in a little while, but is that these seven abilities are what your child needs to test well to go into kindergarten, and it's the same thing that your child needs to test well and to do well from kindergarten to 12th grade. So if you have a child who later in, you know, when he's in third or fourth grade starts to have learning issues in school, it's going to be with one of these abilities. So that's how important these are, and that's why it's so important as a parent for you to understand them when your kids are young and sort of build on them and strengthen them from the time they're very little till the time they grow up.
Hey, then this leads to the next question, the obvious question. So what are the seven abilities? And
yes,
can you explain why kids let the secret out? And why kids need to know each of these abilities, not only for testing, but for school success in general.
Okay, well, I'm gonna take you through the seven abilities, and I'll tell you what they are first. They are language, and then there's knowledge and comprehension, and then there's memory, and then we have math, and we have visual spatial reasoning, and we have cognitive skills, and we have fine motor skills. And so what I think I'll do is I'll take you through each one and just tell you what it is, and maybe talk to you a little bit about why it's important for school success. And if you want to follow along on the handout and take a few notes, you might want to do that. Again, the handout is at testingmom.com at our blog. And so you might just follow along there. But the first ability that every child needs is language. And when we talk about language, we're talking about receptive language and expressive language. And receptive language is your child's ability to tune in and listen and understand the words that are being spoken to him. And expressive language is your child's ability to say words orally, to express his ideas and feelings. And later, when he's older, it'll be, you know, to write his words and express himself in writing as well. And this is, of course, so important at school because a child needs to be able to understand, you know, what a teacher says and what a teacher's teaching him, needs to be able to follow directions, needs to be able to communicate his own answers and ideas through words. And I want to tell you two tips I want to give you about building your child's language skills. One is to talk to your child all the time. Surround your child with language. I mean, you cannot talk to your child enough. And in fact, when we talk about, you know, what can you do to build your child's IQ, children who are brought up in high language households have IQ scores that are 38 points higher than children brought up in low language households. And that's just talking to your child all the time. And what you want to do is you also read to your child. And when you read to your child, you always hear about this, my suggestion is that you use active reading techniques. So it's not just reading the words to the child, but there's and I outline how to do this in testing for kindergarten. But active reading involves, you know, as you're reading to the child, you're noticing what he notices, and then you ask him a question about something that he notices or gets excited about. So rather than just reading the words, you have like a little conversation about the book as you're reading it. And one of the things, if you are following in the handout, what I did was I tried to show you how do these tests assess each of these different skills. And so if you are following the handout, you see there's a question where it's a visual question that's, and I took it from a test called the OLSAT test, where this would be like a kindergarten question, but point to a picture that shows a square next to a star that is inside a circle. And if you look at that question, if you're following along, it requires a child to have receptive language because they have to hear what's being asked, they have to take it in, and it also requires a child remember what was asked before they answer the question. So it's a combination of language and memory skills. And you'll find that's true with all of these kinds of questions you see on these tests. They usually are assessing more than one of the seven abilities. And then a second example I wanted to just tell you about was on a test called the Stanford-Binet, which is this is an IQ test that many children take, and they might ask just a question like, what is a thermometer? And your child has to answer that question using expressive language, and so they have to be able to describe what is a thermometer. A little, you know, five-year-old might be asked a question like that. The second ability that we talk about is knowledge and comprehension. And what that is it's just kind of the basic information that a child should know by the time they start school. So by the time they start school, a five-year-old should know things like colors, numbers, letters, holidays, farm animals, shapes, types of transportation, fruits, vegetables, that kind of thing. And so that's the knowledge part of this. And then the comprehension part of this is standards of behavior that children should know by the time they start school. And obviously, as kids get older, they need to know more, and they need more sophisticated understanding of standards of behavior. This is something that, as you can imagine, is so important in school, because a child who starts kindergarten, for example, who doesn't know letters or colors will be in a disadvantage to children who do know those things. And children starting school need to know how to react appropriately in social situations. So, you know, if a child knocks over another child's blocks, they need to know to say, "I'm sorry, let me help you pick it up. You know, they need to know that before they start school. And I gave you, I think, a couple of examples of the kinds of questions that they ask on a test to see, does this child have the knowledge and comprehension that they need. And this example comes from something called the Bracken test, which is a test they give in New York City to help children or to assess whether or not kids are ready for gifted programs. And they might say, point to the cylinder, point to the sphere. Or they might say, can you point to the number 15? Or can you point to the number 49? So a child needs to understand, needs to know what those numbers are. Another kind of question they might ask to assess comprehension is they might say, why should you wash your hands after you go to the bathroom? Or why is it important to tell the truth? So these are social standards of behavior that kids should understand by the time they start school. And then the third area, the third ability that children need is memory. And memory is something that, let me back up just one second. I did want to say, with knowledge and comprehension, if you have a young child, I did want to give you a tip, and that is if you want to know what a child starting kindergarten ought to know, a really good thing to pick up is Richard Scarry's book, it's called Best First Book Ever, and it sort of covers everything children should know by the time they start kindergarten. So it's kind of your cheat sheet of everything you want to make sure your child knows by the time they start kindergarten. And I also suggest getting Brain Quest cards. Those are really great for building knowledge and comprehension. And now I'll get to memory, which is the third ability that's so important, you know, for kids who are going to do well in school and well in testing. And memory is sort of complicated. You've got your short-term memory, and that's your child's ability to remember things that she just learned. Or there's long-term memory, your child's ability to remember things she learned in the past. And memory can be both language-based, you know, things she heard, or visual, things that you saw. And then there's something called working memory, and that's the ability to remember something that you just learned, do something with it, and come up with an answer. And I'm going to explain it. I'll demonstrate this. Something that you get on an IQ test very typically is a child will be asked to repeat a string of numbers and letters. So they might be asked to repeat H or 8D4A. And the child would say 8D4A, and that would test his short-term memory. But a test of working memory, they might be asked to repeat what I just said, but put the numbers first and the letters last. So if you said 8D4A, the child would have to remember what was just said and come back with 48DA. Sorry, my phone is going off. Hold on, let me turn it off. There. Okay. So why is this important? When you are in school, what you need to do is you need to learn how to, a child has to take lots of tests, right? So they have to remember things. They have to remember what they learned in math. They have to remember letters that they learned. And, of course, many concepts build on each other, build on things that they learned in the past. So memory is just critical in school. And in testing for kindergarten, I certainly give lots of memory games. So what you want to do is play memory games with your child to really start to build that memory muscle. One thing that's really fun that kids love to play is in terms of visual memory, is you can play a shell game. So you might, you know, put three cups with something under one of them and then move them around and see if your child can remember where that item still is. And that's building their visual memory. Something you can do with your child that's very important is you want to teach your child how to paraphrase. And what that is that is like if something happened, if they had an experience in the morning with you, like say you went to the zoo and you did all these things together, the ability of your child to later talk to someone about what happened and put it into succinct language, that is a memory skill and also a language skill, but it's very, very important for young children to learn how to do this. And I gave you a couple of examples of questions that might be asked on a test that would assess a child's memory skill. And you see here there's a dollar bill, that something's wrong with it, and the child will be asked, what is wrong with this picture? And here the child has to remember what a dollar bill is supposed to look like. They've got to hold that in their memory and then look at this and say, what's wrong with this? Well, the ones are missing on the bottom. And then the second example I gave you is very typical. This is from an OLSAT test. It's a model question from an OLSAT test. And a child might be asked, point to the picture where the mouse is behind the chair, the cat is on top of the chair, and the bird is in the cage. So when the child has to remember everything you asked, look at that picture and find the answer. So that's an example of memory. And then there's mathematics, okay? So mathematics, here we're talking about computational skills like counting, adding, and subtracting. And we're also talking about thinking skills that you need for math work, like patterning, sequencing, ordering, classifying, and comparing. And, of course, this is so important for school. Math is a core subject all the way from kindergarten through 12th grade. I mean, everybody has to take math. And the things that you can do to really build your child's math skills, math is funny. Math is like language. You know how children how they actually absorb language, and that's how they learn it. It's just you surround a child with language, and they learn language. And math is very much the same. You want to surround your child with math. So when you're talking with your child all the time, you know, about numbers and about letters and about the world and anything you're talking to your child about, you want to include conversations about math. So, like, you know, you might be walking down the street and you might say, hey, I wonder how many steps it's going to take for us to get to the corner. Let's count, you know. Or if you're looking at a book together, you look at all the animals on the page and you say, how many animals are on this page? Let's count them. So you just want to build math into everything you say to your child, and that will help build their math skills. And here I gave you two examples of math questions that you might see on a test for a very young child. The first one is an OLSAT question, which is, again, that's the test they give in New York, but they give it all over the country. And the question here is, look at the first box. The teacher has half as many A-plus stickers as she has check stickers. If she wants to have one more A-plus sticker than check stickers, how many more does she need to get? And the child has to look at all the boxes and figure out how many more she needs to have two more stickers there. So that's a young kindergarten-type question. And the second box is just, this is something called a pattern matrix, where the child has to discern the pattern that's going on in these nine squares and figure out what goes in the bottom square. And they can see, well, you know, it goes from a full image to the bottom half of the image to the top half of the image. And all the way across each row, that's what it does. And the child has to solve that puzzle. And that's a math skill. So that's just an example of how math might be assessed on a test. And then we have visual spatial reasoning skills. And this is a really important ability for school. It's... it's one of those things. I remember that what it is just to tell you, it's your child's ability to reason and solve problems using pictures, images, diagrams, geometric shapes, maps, and tables. So it's just all the visual stuff that children need to be able to do. And you wonder, why is it important for school? It's just so critical. It's everything for school. Children need to be able to draw letters, to read letters. They have to draw shapes for geometry, recognize countries for geography. They have to notice if a word looks like it's spelled right. And that all this requires visual spatial reasoning. And I remember, when my kids were little, I was told that my daughter was going to have to draw shapes for a school we were trying to get her into. She was going to have to draw a circle, square, and a triangle. And I remember wondering, why is that so important? Like, who really cares? And then, of course, now I understand that, like, a V, for example, the letter V is a third of a triangle, or it's actually two-thirds of a triangle. and letters are really made up of parts of shapes. And that's why shapes are just so important for young children. And certainly in terms of, how do you build visual spatial reasoning skills in your child, having your child do puzzles a lot is a really good thing to do. Having them work with parquetry blocks, let me spell that for you. It's P-A-R-Q-U-E-T-R-Y, parquetry blocks. And you might Google those later and see what they are. But they're blocks that come in different shapes, and they're really great for building visual spatial skills. And anything you can do with young children with shapes is really good, like teaching them to draw shapes, working with shape puzzles, drawing shapes in the sand, drawing shapes with shaving cream. Anything you can do with shapes is very, very important in those early years. And I gave you a couple of examples of questions, of test questions that a child might get on a test to assess whether or not they have visual spatial skills. And here's one from, it's modeled after the Bracken test. And the question is, it shows four pictures of different things, a river, an ocean, a road, and a railroad track. Which of these is the widest? So understanding things like wider, thinner, taller, shorter, shallower, deeper, those are all visual spatial ideas. And so these are visual spatial, this is a visual spatial question. And then here is an example of a matrix question that assesses visual spatial skills. And this type of question is very, very common on all intelligence tests that young children take. And what it is the two, if you look at the two items across the top, in this case we have shapes, dark circle, light triangle, dark circle, that sort of becomes the opposite in the next box, light circle, dark triangle, light circle. And the rule that we see here is it becomes the opposite. So the child has to look at the shapes in the bottom left and realize, okay, I need to find the opposite of that. And then they have to look among the four answers and find the opposite, three shapes of that. And so that requires thinking skills, but also visual spatial skills. And then the final, it's not the final. This is the sixth. I'm sorry. This is cognitive skills, and this is the sixth ability. And cognitive skills are thinking skills, thinking, reasoning, problem solving skills. And of course, this matters so much in school because school is all about solving problems, experiments that children have to conduct, or hypotheses that they prove. They're constantly being asked to think through things. And building your child's cognitive skills, so important. And there's two big tips that I want to give you in that area. And the first one is just don't solve problems for your child all the time. It's so easy for us to solve the problems of a four or a five or a six-year-old because we know what to do, but your child doesn't. And so if your child is faced with a problem, let's say something, a ball, you know, goes way under the couch and they can't reach it and they want it, instead of reaching in and just grabbing it and fix and solving the problem for your child, ask your child, how do you think you might get that? What could you do to you know, get that ball out from behind the couch? And let your child figure it out. And because, you know, you've got to give them the opportunity to solve problems and actually make, let them make little decisions all the time. Not life-changing decisions, but little decisions like what to wear or what to eat sometimes, you know, because it's like that's how children develop thinking skills and problem-solving skills. And the most important thing you can do to help a child build their cognitive skills and their problem-solving types of skills is to let them play. You want to give them as much time for free play and pretend play, because it's through play that children solve problems, negotiate solutions, and figure out things on their own. So the more you can let your child play, and that this is very easy because you can stay out of it and just let them play, the more they learn. And I gave you a couple of examples, one or two examples, let's see, of questions here of how do they assess cognitive skills on a test. This is an example of, remember, this the matrix question that we were looking at before, only instead of being figures, it's image, it's pictures. And this is an example where, you know, a cruise ship is to the ocean as what is to the sky. And the child has to look at these pictures and realize, well, it's not a bird because, or a butterfly because of, you know, a, even though they both fly, they're not mechanical like a ship. And it's so, and it's really, it's the airplane that goes there. And then here's another example of a thinking question, which is a child is shown five different things, and they have to say what does not belong in this group of things. And that requires thinking skills. What the child has to know what goes together to know what doesn't belong. And in this case, it's that it's the ring. It's the diamond ring that doesn't go there. And then finally, we have fine motor skills. And this is your child's ability to control his hands and fingers to do tasks like cutting with scissors, tying a bow, folding, buttoning and unbuttoning. And then graphomotor skills, believe it or not, are actually a little different from fine motor skills, but those are the abilities of your child to use his hands and fingers to write with a pencil. Of course, this is so critical at school because your child has to write papers, type on a computer, work with math manipulatives, and some studies have shown that 60 to 70% of children's schoolwork involves fine motor skills. And, you know, the ways, some examples of the kinds of questions they might ask on a test that to see if your child has good fine motor skills is a child might be given a puzzle to do on a test. They might be given some blocks that they have to recreate, some patterns with some blocks. Or I gave an example, I think, of some coding cards here that come from a test called the WPSI test, the WPSI 3 test, where, you know, a child sees that when they see a circle, they should draw a line straight up and down line. When they see a square, they should draw a line, a horizontal line. And then the child is given a card and a pencil, and they have to, like, go in order. And when they see the square, draw the horizontal line. And when they see the circle, draw the vertical line. So that's an example of a test question that assesses fine motor skills. So that I was trying to, you know, give you there just the whole big picture of these are the seven abilities, and here's what they are, and here's why they really matter in school, and here are ways that schools assess them. So that's my sort of overview of the seven abilities and why they're so important. And as a parent, I just want to say, I to the extent that you as a parent can really try to think about every day building and strengthening your child's abilities in each of these areas, he or she will do so much better in school. And in the book Testing for Kindergarten, I give you lots and lots of tips on how to build each of these abilities. But that's really what you want to do, because that's how you build, how you support your child, not only in doing well when they're tested, but most importantly, you want them to start school ready to do well and to hit the ground running.
Okay, great, Karen. That's just amazing insights on the seven abilities. I enjoy it every time I hear it. And let's see, again, if you just joined us on the teleseminar, welcome. We have Karen Quinn, the testing mom. She's going over the seven abilities your child needs to know to be successful at testing. And in just a few minutes, we will be offering a special offer for everyone attending tonight and let you know how you can get Karen's book, Testing for Kindergarten, absolutely free. And if you have any questions, please go out to our Facebook fan page. Just type in Testing Mom on Facebook and just ask us a question, and then we'll get to the question either during the teleseminar or right after the teleseminar. Karen, I'll get out on Facebook and answer all your questions as well. Karen, can you take us back through each of the abilities at a high level and give us two or three of your favorite tips on how parents might incorporate each of these abilities into their daily routine?
Okay, well, I tried to do that a little bit as I went through it, but let me review that just really quickly. Just as a reminder, with language, you want to talk to your child all the time about everything and anything. Surround your child with language. You talk to them. Have other people in your family talk to them. And it's not just talking at your child. It's back and forth. You know, even when your child can't even talk, when they're really little, you can notice what they're looking at, and you can respond to that. And then, of course, later as they start to talk, there's a lot of conversation that takes place. And I suggest that you read to children all the time. That's so important. And the other thing with language is really trying to work on your child's listening skills. You really want to teach your child to listen, and that's something, of course, that Amy is so good at helping you learn how to do. But because a child has to, in school, one of the most important things that they have to do is listen to the teacher and respond appropriately. So listening skills are critically important. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about knowledge and comprehension, and I recommended that with younger children, you get Richard Scarry's best first book ever, or any concept book. A concept book is a book that it just covers like all the basic things kids need to know, like colors, numbers, letters, and it puts things into categories like, you know, this is everything that you'll find inside of a house, and here's everything you'll find at the farm. And it starts to put things into categories, and that's what children need to start to learn as young kids, is what goes together. So these concept books do it. And if your child doesn't love Richard Scarry, I think DK Publishing has these similar concept books with photographs that kids really like. And I also like Brain Quest cards, as I said before. Memory, any kind of memory games you can play with your child are great. And, you know, there's a game, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the TV game show Concentration, but there's, now they just call it memory, I think. But you can buy memory games where, you know, you turn over cards, you make 9 cards in a row, and you turn over 2, and you're looking for matches. And the child has to remember where the card was to make a match. I mean, that's a really good game for building your child's memory. You know, even games like Simon Says, turn around in a circle 3 times. The child has to remember what Simon said to do what Simon says. So those games are great for building memory. And then we've got mathematics. What I recommend is that you build talk about math into your everyday life as often as you can. You know, you put a blanket on your child and you say, here's one blanket. I don't think you're going to be warm enough with one blanket. I'm going to add another. Now you have 2 blankets. If I add 2 blankets, if I add another, you'll have 3. I mean, that starts to teach them about adding. I'll take one away. Now you'll have 2. That teaches them about subtraction. So building talk about math into their daily lives, very, very important. Visual spatial reasoning, as I said, work with puzzles, parquetry blocks, look at picture books together, notice shapes when you're walking down the street. You know, you might see a stop sign and talk about what shape that is, or, You might see a yield sign and talk about what shape that is. So anytime you can talk about shapes or notice shapes in the environment, that's a great thing to do. Cognitive skills, just let your child play. That's like the best thing you can do to build cognitive thinking skills. And as I said, don't solve your child's problems. Let them solve problems. And also, you can always at dinner, you know, when you're together for dinner, have ask your child interesting, provocative questions, you know, for like for a young child. Like, what would you do if you were in charge of your class? What would you do differently? You know, let's ask some questions that would get them to think. And then fine motor, just have all kinds of art supplies in your house. If you have crayons and pencils and glue and things that they can work with their hands, their little hands, that really builds fine motor skills. And for young kids, I wanted to just say, you know, a lot of young kids you want them to learn a mature pencil grip. And if they are struggling with their pencil grip, what you can do is cut their crayons in half and just give them the short end of the front of the top of the crayon. And that forces them to hold the crayon with a little pincher grip. And that starts to teach them the grown-up pencil grip that they need to learn as they get older. And those are sort of some of the big ideas, And if you read Testing for Kindergarten, there's tons and tons of more tips about building each of these abilities.
So, Karen, if a child is going to be tested for a gifted and talented program or get tested to go into private school, will they be given a test that assesses the seven abilities you discussed, or will it be a different type of test?
Usually it depends. It really depends. Many schools give an intelligence test, so that would be an intelligence test is like an IQ test. You've probably heard of the Stanford-Binet test. There's another test called the WPSI. These are IQ-type tests, and these tests definitely cover the seven abilities. There are other tests that are given, like, for example, in New York City, they give a combination of a test called the OLSAT test, the Otis-Lennon test, and the Bracken test. And the Bracken test is really a knowledge test. You know, it covers information and knowledge, and that's one of the seven abilities. But it also covers many of the abilities, almost every single one, but in a just a little different way than an intelligence test covers. And then there's another kind of test that some schools will give, and that's called an achievement test. And an achievement test will really test more about what a child has learned in school already, like math and reading and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I would say 80% of the time when you're looking at private schools or gifted programs, there's going to be some kind of intelligence test, and it will be covering the seven abilities that we just talked about.
Okay, and Karen, if a parent knows their child is going to be tested, how can a parent help them prepare without stressing them out? I guess the parent and the child, so.
Both. We don't want the child to be stressed, and we don't want the parent to be stressed. We want everyone to do this in as easy a way as possible. Well, first of all, I would say to you that if you know that in a year or two, the best thing is if you have some time before your child is going to be assessed, because the longer you have to prepare, the easier it is. You know, you're able to do it over a longer period of time, and so you might spend 20 or 30 minutes a night doing some practice types of things for the test. You know, if you read the book Testing for Kindergarten and you've got like a year to 2 years to do things, you can do it all with games and activities just in the course of everyday life. If your child is going to be tested before that, one of the things that we have at testingmom.com is we have practice questions that are modeled after some of the different tests that children take for private school or gifted programs. And you can do these practice test questions. You can do them on the computer and make it feel like kind of a fun computer game where all your child has to do is point to the answer and you kind of go down the computer and you do the questions that way. You can print them out. One of the things we have on our site is a game that I developed called IQ Fun Park, which is actually a game modeled after these tests that feels and plays like a game, and you can just keep it fun, but you can do practice questions so that by the when your child goes in for an assessment, they have actually practiced the kinds of questions they're going to see on the test, because some of these questions are very different from anything a child has ever seen or been asked to do. So if they have a little practice ahead of time with the kind of questions they're going to see, they'll be much more confident going into the test. Even though they haven't done those exact questions before, they'll be confident and they'll know that they can answer the questions. So to me, a little practice ahead of time with something similar, doing it at home with a parent, is probably the best way that you can help a child get ready. And to parents, I always say, when you're doing it, keep it fun, keep it light. You know, you're teaching your child. You're exposing him to some new concepts and new materials, and that's what you're supposed to do, because you are a parent is a child's most important teacher. But you want to keep it fun. You don't want to put pressure on them. You just want to make it like fun stuff, like the same way you would have fun if you were working with Brain Quest cards. You have fun when you do the practice questions. That's what I would recommend.
Yes, and for everyone attending tonight, if you would like to get 50 free practice questions, all you need to do is go to testymom.com, and right there on the right side of the homepage, it has a big red banner that says 50 free practice questions. So just put your email address in there, and then as soon as you sign up, you will get 50 free practice questions, and you can look at all the questions as well. And then we also have 10,000 questions that Karen has written over the last year for all our premium memberships. Karen, did you have any final closing thoughts before we talk about the special tonight?
I just want to say to parents that these 7 abilities, understanding these 7 abilities, is just so, so important if you just get your arms around them, because as I said, that as your child moves along in school, if they start to have problems, it's going to be with one of these abilities. Somewhere in one of these abilities, that's where the problem is going to lie. So as a parent, if you understand them, you know, you can kind of look out for them, watch, you know, as your child grows and goes through school. And one of the things, one of my biggest regrets as a parent is that, you know, my daughter was tested when she was 4, and she did terrible in all of the visual spatial reasoning subtests. But I did not understand what that meant or what it could mean to her. And so she went on into school. We got her into a school. She did well enough to get into a school we wanted her to go to, so I just kind of forgot about it. But she started to have trouble as she went in, as the years went by. And in 6th grade, she was finally diagnosed with a very pretty severe visual spatial learning disability. And I realize now, looking back, if I had understood, because it was right there in the test that she took as a 4-year-old, glaring. It was right there. And I wish that I had just understood, looking back, that if there were problems, that, you know, when she was 4 and she was tested, I should have been watching out. It didn't mean she was going to have a learning disability for sure, but it turned out she did. But certainly when there started to be problems, I should have remembered, you know, hey, remember that test she took years ago where she had trouble? Maybe that's what it is, you know, and we could have diagnosed it sooner. We could have helped her sooner, and I regret that I didn't understand it enough to help her as she went through school until much, much later. So that's why I want you all to really understand these abilities and kind of just watch and make sure that your child is developing, you know, as they ought to be along in each of these different abilities as they go through school. It's very, very important, not just for testing, but for school. That's what
yes, and that leads us to the offer tonight on how you can get Karen's book, Testing for Kindergarten, absolutely free. We're offering a special promotion for everyone participating in the teleseminar tonight. So get your pen and pencil ready. You'll want to write down the special code. We'll be offering 25% off our top 1% membership, option 2 on testymom.com, or 25% off our top 5% membership, option 3 on testymom.com. And with each of these memberships, you not only receive thousands of questions, with the top 1%, you get over 10,000 questions. And with our top 5% membership, you get over 5,000 questions. You'll also receive a free copy of Karen's book, and it's autographed, of Testing for Kindergarten. And again, that code is Harvard 25. Harvard is in Harvard University 25. That's HARVARD, the number 2 and the number 5. And that will get you 25% off. Just enter the Harvard 25 code at the bottom of the page and then click apply coupon, and it will deduct the 25% off the total. Karen, did you have any other final thoughts tonight before we close?
No, but thanks to everybody for listening, and I really wish you all the best with your kids. I think it's so exciting to watch them grow intellectually and to see how they just learn so much all the time. So I just wish you all well.
Yes, me too. Thanks again for everyone attending tonight. And again, that code tonight is Harvard 25, HARVARD 25 to get 25% off. And Amy, did you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, I just have a couple of things. First, for those of you who are not already a fan on testingmom.com, I really encourage you to go there and become a fan. One of the things that Karen does, I think on a daily basis, is she gives you a list of questions to ask your child, and she covers different age groups. So the kinds of questions that she's talking about tonight, you can get a lot of those on their Facebook page. Now, it's nothing compared to their full program, but like I said, if you're not already a fan, go ahead and do that. And otherwise, Karen and Michael, I just want to thank you both so much for being with us tonight and sharing all this information. I know, touched the tip of the iceberg tonight. There's so much more that we can learn on your site, but thanks for sharing that with us.
Thanks for having us, Amy. We always love to be with you and with your members. They're great.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Amy.
Also some questions on your Facebook page, so you guys will be answering those. I think just a couple.
Okay, well, we'll answer them. So, and anybody else, if you have any more questions, put them on Facebook and we will answer them, so for sure.
That sounds great. Well, thanks, guys. Everybody have a great evening.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.